Ready for a career in behavioral health? Earn your online degree at Herzing University. Choose from health and human services, psychology, or social work programs. Gain the skills to work, coordinate, and manage nonprofits. Secure a bachelor's in psychology to study mental health or advance your social work career through our online Masters of Social Work. Let us help you become a social change agent. Your future starts now at Herzing University. Text HEALTH to 85109. That's HEALTH to 85109. Or visit herzing.edu.
Guys, it's been a year. It's been a year since we started the show.
Happy birthday!
I can't believe it's been a year.
I can't believe it.
Thank you all.
Yeah.
And you guys might be wondering, why did I get a notification about a new episode on a Wednesday? On a Wednesday, of all things.
Because it's hump day.
Well, that, and this is a special. Normally, we tell you stories of horror, true crime, all based in myth or reality. And we have a special occasion tonight. We are interviewing an author that writes
with his own spooky, scary stories for us to talk about.
I love it.
Tonight, we are going to be interviewing James Derman. He has a book that just came out called Doorways to the Unseen, Volume 4.
Go download that shit.
Go get it. He will tell you later in the episode, once we start the interview, where you can purchase the book. I highly recommend it. He sent us a copy to read, and it is phenomenal.
Yeah, it was really good.
I finished it in like 2 days. I'll make sure to tell him that.
Yes. Now, it's no secret here at Creeps in the Crypt that we have a love of horror anthology.
Yes.
Like, I grew up on Tales from the Crypt, Goosebumps, Are You Afraid of the Dark?
I love that show.
I'm going to take a throwback. What was the first horror movie that you ever saw?
That I ever saw?
Like,
Hocus Pocus.
Like,
okay.
Like, yeah.
I would say that's is a small child, witch is coming to steal your soul. Yeah.
Yeah.
Come little children. Yeah. That was not my first one.
What was your first one?
My first one was Anaconda.
I think my mom just like
threw when did Anaconda come out in like the 80s?
I don't know.
I happened upon my parents had HBO.
Well, I'm shocked. Was it which Anaconda was it? Was it like the one that came on after 11 p.m.?
No, it was not that one.
Mine was The Exorcist.
Oh, nice.
My mom just threw caution to the wind with me at all times.
Mine did not.
But
my dad would let me sneak and watch Tales from the Crypt with him.
I love that.
So I was like super into horror as a kid. Like I was obsessed with Frankenstein.
Oh, I love that.
So yeah, between like Goosebumps, Tales from the Crypt, Are You Afraid of the Dark?
So, funny story. Did you get freaked out by your first horror movie?
No.
Or did you love it?
I loved it. I loved every second of it.
So, Anaconda actually was the first horror movie I ever watched. And it freaked me out. It made me scared. But the second one that I watched was, I want to say it was Alien. And I watched
That's a good one.
I watched it with my mom. And that was probably one of my favorite ones that I watched, and that kind of started the whole this is like stuff that I really really enjoy. I have certain things that like trigger me and make me kind of like ugh, but the Anaconda was like the only one I was like really really freaked out. Oh, Arachnophobia was another personal favorite, and I watched the shit out of that one. I will binge watch that one over and over again.
No,
I love Arachnophobia.
My mom took me to go see Eight-Legged Freaks in theaters.
Oh!
Fuck that movie.
Oh, I love that movie.
Here's one for you. Here's another horror movie. Well, some consider this a horror movie. Some don't.
Okay.
Gremlins.
I love Gremlins.
I don't consider that a horror movie.
I consider it a horror movie. It's a it's a monster movie.
I have a stuffed gizmo, and I love
him. I also had a stuffed gizmo.
Did you really? Still have him.
We got it in Universal Studios at one of those, like, no, we got him at the fair, the county fair, in 2017.
And then I really got into Friday the 13th.
Oh, yeah. Classic mm-hmm. Halloween. Watched
all of them. Halloween was awesome.
I remember every October, AMC would just stream horror movies. Well, not stream, but play horror movies non-fucking stop.
It was awesome.
Friday the 13th, they played every single Jason movie.
Yep. Jason in Space is probably my least favorite.
Heavily
one.
Edited, though. After seeing those like later as an adult, I was like, I don't remember there being this many titties when I was a child.
There's a lot of titties.
Lots of titties. Mm-hmm. It's not a good slasher film. There's no titties.
No. But yeah, guys, we just wanted to do something special for our 1 year anniversary of being a show.
I know. This is so exciting.
And James hit us up and I was like, fuck yeah, we'll interview a horror author.
I'm happy to see that an author, and I would sort of like reiterate this. I'm happy to see people actually writing original stuff that is actually captivating. Because a lot of times it's not captivating. It's kind of just like blah.
Or very on the nose.
Or it feels like
it's very campy. And I'm just like, I was like,
if I have to
glued to the screen. If it screen. Feels
like a 5-year old wrote this, I'm not interested.
Yeah, no.
I'm not.
No.
But if it has like a good story, he nailed it on the stories.
Yeah, I did. It was really good.
Yep.
So we're about to interview James. So we'll talk to you guys after the interview.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Well, we're here with James Derman, writer of, go ahead and tell us your book.
Yeah, it's Doorways to the Unseen. It's a series of short horror story collections. So I have the fourth volume that was released at the end of last month in April.
Awesome. We read it and we love it.
Yes, it was freaking awesome.
So you read the entire volume, all six stories?
I read all of them in 2 days.
Okay, great.
So, and they were amazing. And I just want to tell you how nice and refreshing it is to have an author write stories that are actually like personable and that you can relate to, instead of it being a cookie cutter, just horror story. It feels refreshing and nice. And I really, really, I was there. I like, normally if you have a book and you can't put it down, that's when you know. And that was kind of where I was at with it. So I thank you for that.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
So,
but what was your favorite story out of the six?
Out of all the six, I'm going to go ahead and say the ones that you recommended, the Matilda one.
That one was so good.
Yeah, that one was awesome.
I am so glad you recommended that. I didn't know where that was going to go, and you really, really shocked me with where you took it, and I was really just, I'm not going to, you know, to the listeners, but I really enjoyed that one the most.
The ending was definitely a gut punch. I did not see it going that way.
I just kept reading. I was like, wait.
What?
What?
My personal favorite was Fear of the Dark.
Oh, okay.
The first one?
Yeah, the Boogeyman story?
Yeah, that one was a good one.
I love that one.
That's the one I'm going to read later on in the
interview. Awesome.
Perfect.
Love it. So, how long have you been writing, James?
My first volume was released in October 2016, and then I took a break from writing because I was involved in other things, but then I started releasing a volume every year. So I released one in 2020, then one in 2021, and then my fourth one was last month, April 2022. I'm going to be releasing on a twice a year schedule now, so the next one will be October 2022. And then I'll continue like that until I reach 12 volumes.
Years
from cool. Now.
So, What are you thinking you're going to do after you're done with the 12 volumes? Are you going to keep doing horror? Or are you going to tackle a different genre?
Yeah, I have actually written a short story that's in a science fiction collection. It's Metamorphosis Alpha 3. You can look it up. It's kind of a sci-fi horror story. Like, Further Back and Faster. Did you remember that story about Mars?
I haven't read that one.
Okay, mm-hmm. But I mean, you know, if you've read all six, do you remember that? The one that, you know, takes place on the, it's not clear if it's Mars at the beginning, but it is towards the end.
Okay, so that makes sense now. Thank you for clearing that up, because I was like, okay, it's on another planet, and I don't know where it is, but thank you for that.
Yeah, I mean, it kind of ends with, you know, it states directly that it's Mars at the end.
But yeah.
That's a sci-fi horror story.
That's cool. That's cool that you're taking it in that direction.
Mm-hmm.
So, James, what are your influences in writing? Like, what made you want to start writing?
Oh, I talk about this in volume two. I have, like, this kind of statement of purpose at the end. You know, it's like this short essay. And it's really the horror anthology TV shows. You know, like Tales from the Crypt and Tales from the Dark Side and, you know, some, even like The Twilight Zone, Outer Limits. And the horror anthology movies.
So
they used to have.
I don't know if you can tell, but we are massive fans of horror anthology.
Yes.
Even our intro, when my buddy was writing it, he's like, "What influence do you want to go with?" And I was like, "Make something Danny Elfman would be proud of." So.
Okay. Yeah. So the intro to your show.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
But. So, do you, like, go to any locations to get, like, influence for your stories, or do you just sit down and focus?
I have a subscription to Shudder, and there's a lot of stuff on there that, you know, I don't want it to be, like, a copy of something else.
Yeah.
But, you know, I watch movies on there, and also I read a lot of older stuff, like H.P. Lovecraft and Edgar Allan Poe, you know, are two influences. And then I wrote a short story that was very similar to Arthur Machen's The Great God Pan, if you've ever heard of that. That's a novella.
I haven't heard of that one.
Mm-mm.
Okay.
I'm a huge Poe fan, though.
Yeah, like 19th century horror writers are an influence on me, and like H.P. Lovecraft to the early part of the 20th century. You know, and then I would watch, as I mentioned, like Night Gallery, and then... Tales from the Dark Side, Tales from the Crypt, you know, the horror anthology TV series, and then, you know, like, do you remember Trilogy of Terror?
I do.
Yeah, okay, those, so like 70s horror, that's when they were doing a lot of the horror anthology movies.
Now, did you ever get into, like, EC Comics at all? Like,
yeah, I mean, I read comic books, of course, when I was growing up in grade school.
Right on. Because I know those are like where everything stemmed from for me. It was like the old EC Comics and stuff. My older brother had them, and it was great.
Which titles?
Tales from the Crypt.
So Tales from the Crypt was a comic. I actually had never found. I never realized what publisher.
Vault of Horror was another good one.
Yeah, I remember that one too.
But yeah, so do you have any like influences for the next book that you're going to put out?
Yeah, I mean, I've already started writing it, and the next volume, I can give you an idea. I already have the six stories outlined, and I've started writing them. It'll be a radio performance by Vincent Price. Is the influence of one of the stories. And then another one, do you remember Alan Alda was actually in a horror movie? Remember from MASH?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so it was called The Mephisto Waltz. And that influences kind of the plot of the last story. I think so far it'll be the last story in the collection. And then the first story is going to be very Lovecraftian, Edgar Allan Poe-like. You know, like I had a story at the end of Volume 3 that was like that. And then... you know, there are other stories that don't have an exact influence. Ambrose Bierce is going to be an influence on one of the third stories, but then there's a few that really aren't connected to anything in particular. You know, they kind of have a, you know, horror vibe from certain stories, but you know, the plot isn't related to anything that I could point at and say, you know, it's similar to that. So. But yeah, I mean, so it's I sometimes take an idea and then I think, well, how can I improve on this, or how would I do it differently if I did it? You know, and then I read a story around that, and other things just, you know, come to me, and they don't really have a direct influence. I just kind of write them from, you know, what I think would be a good idea, you know, that doesn't really have a specific influence.
Right on. So what is your favorite story out of volume 4?
Okay, out of volume 4, I'd say Matilda Graves is the best.
That one was so good.
It was really good. I'm so glad that you recommended that as a one for us to read. Because I was, when I got to that one, I like read through, speeded through. And when I got to that one, I was like, okay, this one's, I get this one. I get this one. And then when it ended, I was like, what just happened?
I know. I was like that. Wait, what?
My editor thought that was the standout story.
He said it is so standout, dude.
So good.
Book collection.
Yeah.
Awesome.
I'm very happy to hear that you also as well have a subscription to Shudder, because me and Eric we're newer subscribers to Shudder, and we have been rewatching a lot of the older horror movies, and it has been very entertaining and enlightening and just whimsical and fun, of like the reason why we enjoy doing our show. Mm-hmm. It makes it fun.
Yeah, I mean, definitely Shudder is an important part of the horror community now, because it's, you know, the horror fan base or horror fan community, you know, just because it's the place to go to watch horror movies. And they sometimes have things that you would never be able to see otherwise.
Yeah, I mean,
especially foreign horror movies.
We watched a French film that was completely in French that was subtitled
Christmas.
Yeah, it was a Christmas one, or a Christmas horror movie, and it was completely in French. I would never have looked that up or ever known that that was even something that was, you know, that I could watch.
Yeah, I recently watched The Deep House. It wasn't on Shudder, and it was mostly in French. The main female character she's actually, she has a French mother, so she speaks French and English, and she does that in the movie, you know, and her boyfriend's supposed to be British. And have you heard about The Deep House? It's from the same directors as Inside.
No.
We haven't.
That was on Shudder recently.
No. We watched Vampires with a Y last night.
That one was good.
Yeah, that one was good.
We watched Nosferatu the other day, too.
I did enjoy that one. It was really good.
That's turned into a show now.
Go ahead. Excuse me?
Nosferatu?
Yeah.
It's turned into a show now.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah, but I have yet to write a vampire story.
Can you get on that, please?
I would love that.
Yeah. Well, I've thought about it. I mean, the thing is, it's been done so many times, it's like cliche.
Oh, I think, James, that you would make it less sparkly and so good.
Yeah. No.
The thing is, I did write a zombie story, but it was it's in volume 2, but it takes place in Haiti during the 1930s.
What?
That's cool.
So
it's about like smuggling, and it has the subplot about you know, smugglers and things like that.
Is it so like
it's unusual? It's not something that is typical of zombies.
Are they pirates? Are like zombie pirates? Smuggling?
No. I mean,
we're gonna have to go read volume 2. This is what he's telling us.
About voodoo and Haiti.
I would say it's probably more like Serpent in the Rainbow. Would you say?
Yeah, exactly. So Serpent in the Rainbow is kind of an indirect influence on it, and I watched White Zombie 2 before that.
That's a classic
1930s film. Yeah, the classic movie, and you know, some other things. One of my uncles was in the Merchant Marines. This is decades ago. I think he's you know, this is on my mom's side, so he's passed away, and he told the family a story that when they docked in Haiti, that he saw actual zombies being used as laborers.
Whoa!
What?
So that was actually the seed concept behind the story.
That's
and there's
cool.
A scene like that in the story.
That's awesome. We're gonna have to get volume 2, guys.
Yeah.
So
well, yeah, volume 1, 2, and 3. I think volume 3 has probably turned out the best. Every story in there is really good.
3 is my lucky number.
So James, if somebody wanted to go buy your book, where would they go buy it?
Yeah, it's on Amazon. It's on other platforms too, but Amazon's just the most convenient place to purchase it.
Awesome.
It's mostly, the sales from the other platforms are kind of small compared to Amazon. So I've really just focused on Amazon, but it's also on Barnes and Nobles and Kobo and things.
Do you have ebook, paperback, hardback?
Yeah, you can get it as an ebook and a paperback. I haven't done hardcovers yet, but there's kind of short, slim volumes, you know, about 32,000 words per volume. You know, each story is about 5,000 words.
Okay.
Yeah, cool. So I'm going to eventually, after the series is done, like at the end of the series, for Halloween of the year it ends, I'm going to release it as a 3-volume hardcover set.
Ooh.
That'd be awesome.
Have the full.
So there'll be four volumes in each volume of the hardcover series, and then it'll wrap up the entire series.
That's super cool.
That's huge. So James, do you want to go ahead and get into reading a little bit of the excerpt?
Sure.
All right.
So this is from Fear of the Dark, and you know, like you mentioned, it's about the boogeyman, and you know, the kind of the idea is the main character, Susan, she's the younger sister of Peter, who's been telling her these strange stories about their family over Zoom. And you kind of realize more and more things about their family, that they're somehow being stalked by the boogeyman. So he told her the story about rats back in Germany, where their family's from originally. And then he tells her the second story when they speak again about their great-great-granddad Carl, who had a bizarre experience during World War I, and he was put away in an orphanage. So that's kind of where it jumps in right here. So Dad told us that after eating the rats, things didn't get much better for Carl. Food stayed scarce, and Els had to put some of the kids in an orphanage. As the oldest boy in the family, Carl was sent away with several of his youngest siblings so he could keep them safe. The orphanage was packed with children who had lost both parents during the war and other kids whose families couldn't feed them. The nuns had converted spare rooms into sleeping quarters, with the kids more or less piled on top of one another. Their first night there, Carl was put into a room with his brothers and sisters and about a dozen other children. All of them slept on cots along the bare floor. The room had previously been a bedroom for staff, but had been unused for years. Carl told Dad that a nun put them down to bed after reading their prayers and then took the only light in the room, a candle in its holder. Candles were in short supply, as was everything else. The bedroom door was left open and Carl's cot was right next to it. The room was almost entirely dark, but he still couldn't sleep. He was so hungry it kept him awake. A clock chimed midnight in the distance, and Carl heard a creaking sound as the closet door was pushed open wide from inside. Carl swore to Dad that he saw a horrible thing emerge from that closet. It passed close to him but went by. It resembled a man but was very bent and crooked, too tall and too thin to be a human being. The thing shambled forward, treading among the slumbering children until it reached the cot of a little girl who had been left all by herself at the orphanage. The thing scooped up the sleeping child and bundled her into a sack it carried before silently making its way back across the room. Great-granddad wanted to scream, but held it in, knowing what the monster might do if it hurt him. He shut his eyes tight and tried not to move. He said the thing came toward the closet and hesitated somewhere close by, as if it was looking down at him. Finally, though, the closet door creaked shut. Still, Carl didn't dare open his eyes until he could feel the morning light on them. Susan breathed out at last. She had been holding her breath without realizing it, and now almost gasped, a shiver running down her spine. Peter, why would you tell me a story like that? You know, the last thing I need to hear is a spooky tale about dark closets and child snatching. Peter smiled slightly and then peered into his webcam. I just wanted you to know that our great-granddad also had a terrible fear of the dark. Maybe it runs in our family. So after that, the story kind of just keeps delving into, you realize more and more that she is being stalked by the boogeyman. And then it comes, you know, to that final scene where I won't give it away exactly, but
yeah. Don't give it away.
The story wraps up.
It's very good. I got like serious Insidious vibes from it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's something like. Well, I mean, the thing is, Bagul is supposed to be a boogeyman.
Yeah.
From Sinister, Bagul, the what is it supposed to be, a Babylonian deity or demon or something?
Oh, the movie yeah. Sinister. That freaked me.
That one was good.
Yeah, Sinister is a good movie.
But all right, so James, what are your top five horror movies?
Top five horror movies?
Yeah.
No
pressure.
I mean. Yeah, people have asked me about this before. You know, I'd say The Exorcist is probably the best horror movie ever made. The Shining is, you know, up there as well as a major horror movie. Let's see. Maybe Martyrs. That's another French movie.
I haven't seen that one.
Have you heard of it?
No.
I can't remember the director's name. Let me find it.
I've been taking notes while you like been talking.
Okay, it's a 2008 movie. It's pretty recent, but it's actually probably one of the best horror movies ever made. It's Pascal Langier. I think maybe that's how you pronounce it.
We're gonna have to watch Langier. That.
It's mm-hmm. a Martyrs 2008. It's very violent. You know, it's like a borderline X rating just for violence.
Wow.
You know, it's about torture, but there's like a transcendent experience behind torture.
I have to go find that movie. Yeah. They were had it on Shudder at one point from what I looked up, and they don't have it anymore, but we will definitely, I have added it as a bookmark.
I introduced Christian to Cannibal Holocaust the other night, so I think we're ready for anything now.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's worse than that, though. I mean, the Cannibal Holocaust is, I think it's like an Italian movie, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's obviously fake and cheesy. I mean, this is, Martyrs is so violent that it almost looks real.
Oh, wow.
You know.
Okay.
So, and it's about this kind of sinister cult that kidnaps young people, I think mostly women, and tortures them to an extreme level so they have a transcendent experience. And they want to decide if the afterlife is real.
You had us sold at cults. That's one of our favorite things to cover here at Creeps in the Crypt.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, it's a really unique horror movie with a kind of an incredible ending to it.
We'll have to check that out. Now I heard you mention The Shining, and you live in Colorado. Have you been to the Stanley Hotel?
I haven't, but I talked to. One of the managers at the Stanley Hotel. I went to this networking event years ago and I met, he's like the marketing or sales director. And I asked him, does the hotel really claim that it's haunted? And he says, yes, that's their official position, that there are real ghosts at the hotel. And that the place has been haunted for however long it's, you know, at least going back to its early days.
We're going to have to maybe take a trip out there to it.
Field trip.
But, James, thank you so much for coming on and talking to us. We really enjoyed the book.
Okay, that's great. So, yeah, check out the other volumes, and then you can go to my website, which is jamesderman.com, jamesdermond.com. And then the next volume, Volume 5, will be out in October 2022. And then every 2 years after that, it'll be another two volumes in April and October until the end of the series at volume 12.
Awesome.
And then I'll have other writing projects after that, maybe even in between. But cool. It takes me a while to write these books. They're kind of,
you know, I believe
they're kind
that.
Of involved.
I mean, you're doing great work.
Yes.
Okay, thank you. I appreciate that.
No problem. James, thank you so much again. We really appreciate you taking time out of your day to come and talk to us.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, thank you, and I'm glad that you enjoyed the stories.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. And I'll send you a notification when I post the episode. It'll be out tomorrow.
Okay, great. Yeah, and I will send it out on Twitter and Facebook.
Awesome.
Yay.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, James.
Okay, thank you.
Have a good night.
Good night.
That was so much fun.
That was awesome.
This man has never been to the fucking Stanley Hotel. No, I'm just... You have the phone, so...
Yeah. But yeah, guys,
thank you for hanging out for this interview.
Yeah.
We hope you guys like it. If you guys like episodes like this, we'll be sure to do more stuff like this.
Yeah.
This is kind of like a one-off bonus thing. We're trying something a little new. We always loved horror films and horror anthologies. So
how do you see somebody actually do justice to a horror story and not just like throw a monster onto the screen or onto paper and say, this is the monster. Well, and it does this.
Yeah. I mean, I was just like wondering what turns were getting ready to happen in those stories. And I was amazed at how good it was.
I got like sucked in to the Matilda Graves. I was like reading it and I was like, ooh, I bet this is going to happen. And I was
Sam's with her stuff in her face full of lasagna.
I went in on that lasagna. I was starving. It was very tasty.
And she's just reading. I didn't hear a word out of her for a while. And I was like, she's reading it.
Well, guys, thank you again. It's been a wonderful year, and we couldn't think of a better way to kick off Summer of Slaughter 2 with a double episode week. This one's for the fans. This one's for fans of horror.
Yeah.
Christian, if you would drop the socials for us.
First and foremost, and as always, that's what I have to start adding that into there. You guys are awesome. We love you so much. Thank you for the love for a year. This has been a kind of a love hate for us sometimes. It is, we want to give you the best things that we can.
Mm-hmm.
But you guys got to tell us when you don't like it.
Yeah. If there's a topic that you're like, we don't really care about that.
So let us good, know. Good, yeah. Bad. We will take it. Good, bad, and ugly. We will take it. Take it old Western with us.
Give it all.
DM us. Let us know what you like, what you don't like.
That being said, make sure you guys are following us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, TikTok. Sam's over here covering the stuff that we are unable to cover. It's too short. It's not enough information, but it's enough for us to actually get across.
A quick little 3-minute video.
Yeah. We like those. Sam does her makeup for it and everything.
She looks
spicy.
All right, guys.
Make sure you guys go show James some love.
Yes.
Go follow him.
Go follow James. If you liked what he was saying in the excerpt of the story, go check out his book. I highly recommend it. I don't normally read like horror short stories like that. I'm more into the movies and stuff, but I was sucked in.
I'm going to go download. He did recommend Volume 3 as one of his publishers recommended. I'm going to be going on to Amazon. We're going to pick them up. I'm picking them up.
Yeah.
As something to read. These are stories that you guys can read in like 10 seconds.
Yeah, I think I read
you
it
can,
in like
you can
20
literally,
minutes.
They are captivating in the short amount of pages that they are.
Well, these speed readers over here, it took me about 20 minutes to get through a story, but it was great. I was sucked in. I was like, where's it going to go? I was like speculating.
Yeah, I was speculating too. And it was not going where my speculation was at one point.
I can't recommend the Matilda Grays one. There's a reason why he saved that one for last. Because it was fantastic.
So that being said, if you want to actually hear what's going on with that Matilda Graves that we keep bringing up, make sure you guys go download this, guys. Volume 4. We appreciate you, James.
Doorways to the Unseen. Volume 1 through 4. Available on Amazon.
Yep. Links in his Twitter bio.
You'll thank us later when you pick it up.
Yep.
Yeah. All right, guys. We'll be back this Fright Day with our regularly scheduled Creeps in the Crypt.
Stay creepy. Bye.